You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left. Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup! Lightning strikes twice! The Tampa Bay Lightning win their second straight Stanley Cup!
Good evening, everybody. We are live with RBLR Sports Lightning. I'm Joe Zamataro, in for Jake Ricker. We are in the heart of the slow off season right now, but today I'm really excited about a topic that we have at hand. We're reviewing some of our favorite and least favorite player trades all throughout the history of the Lightning. Joined with me is Matt Gannon and Nick Porcelli. Guys, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just swell. Glad to have Nick back with us for his second show. I was a little apprehensive after he beat me in trivia a couple weeks ago. All jokes aside, happy to have you here back with us, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be back. Glad this time we're not competing against each other.
Well, I'm excited for this one. You know, it's been a relatively slow offseason at this point. But, you know, reviewing some of the trades, we talked about having this topic for the last couple of days. One that was actually suggested by one of our fans. Dan gave us this idea. And I love it because, you know, it started to really stimulate some memories of past Lightning days. And I'm excited to get us started. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Lightning trades, and we're going to list our favorite ones as well as our least favorite. The only caveat is that we're not going to do trades that are just for draft picks. McDonough would be a good example of that, where we got him for, what was that, a seventh round pick, I think, guys. So it's going to be a player-for-player trade. If you're new here, be sure to like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell on YouTube so you make sure you never miss us when we go live. To start us off, either of you guys want to go first with one of your favorite picks?
Well, let me ask real quick. So you're not talking like straight one-for-one deals, are you? You're just talking about no player traded for picks.
Well, right. So, I mean, we're, okay. Again, McDonough, you know, is a $7 million contract, but all we gave up was, you know, like a late draft pick in order to get him. That was like a salary dump sort of thing. But actual trades were, you know, we gave up assets, we gave up actual players rather than just assets, and how it impacted the team and how it ended up working out.
And also, I want to ask two clarifying questions. We can't talk about trades that just involve draft picks. Or what about ones where we got a draft pick and we traded away a player and that pick we used turned out to be a good player?
I think that would be great for some notable mentions.
Okay. I have a feeling I know which one he's talking about.
Well, the funny thing is there's been so many over the years. I mean, you really can look at some of the past trades that we've made that were just for picks. It really opens the field up a lot more. So it's something we could actually even look at. You've talked about this before, Matt. The rabbit hole that is a pick that we traded away or acquired through a trade that ended up developing into another player. Maybe we drafted someone that we then traded. You've kind of talked about that rabbit hole at one point or time.
Oh, yeah. No, I love going down trade trees and seeing how they evolve over time. Like, I guess... I won't dig too deep and spoil anything, but yeah, if you just go back and look at some of just even minor trades and how they evolve over time, I'm sure Nick, with some of the writing that he does, he's a big fan of how they evolve as well. So it is always a fun tangent to go down.
Great. Well, let's get right into it then. And you know, do either of you guys want to go first? I don't want to pull off the top of the stack and maybe ruin one of you guys' picks.
Well, Nick, do you need time to reevaluate? It seems like the one trade you had.
No, I got a couple. Okay. There are players we traded away, and there's players we got. So I can start off if we want.
Go for it.
So technically, I got two because they feel like they're the same trade because we both got them around the same time. start off with the trade that we used to get Blake Coleman. I think that was one of our better ones. We got to pull up the trade. I actually wrote a list down just right before we filmed. We traded him in exchange for Nolan Foote, who has not played that much for the Devils. And we did trade him for a first-round pick. And currently that player who they drafted is in the minors, and he's not even currently in their minor league system.
That is an awesome pick. I remember one of my buddies is a really big New Jersey fan. And I remember when that pick happened, I was not at all familiar with Coleman, and he loved it for the Lightning. He was so high on the guy and, you know, was really excited for what we got. I had no idea he would end up being such an important part of the team and really add to the chemistry that we needed in order to win a cup. That's an awesome choice.
You know why trading for him was worth it? It was one moment. The buzzer-beating goal in Game 2 of the 2021 Stanley Cup Finals, which I was lucky enough to be there live for.
Oh,
that alone is awesome. Makes it worth it.
That's cool. Yeah, I remember when that trade first happened, because that was before the COVID shutdown, right? That was the 2020 trade deadline. And you only got to play like 6 games for the team. And like, I can't remember in like those very few games before the COVID shutdown and all that, if he was really outstanding. But I remember like, you know, going on, you know, NHL franchise mode and getting Blake Coleman, you know, because I was so obsessed with what we got. I was a fan of him like when he was on the Devils. I didn't really know exactly what we were going to get, but I knew what he was going to be, you know, a penalty killing, just hard nosed, great all around style player. And even with him leaving the Lightning, signing a big deal in Calgary, which didn't really look like it was that great of a deal, he still scored 30 goals last year. He's actually kind of blossoming into a heck of an offensive player. But yeah, I remember when he first came over, I was in love with Blake Coleman. I still am. He's one of those that got away to me.
Yeah, no matter like what would have happened, like I would still argue that the trade was worth it, because even though he didn't play that many games, he was crucial in us winning 2 straight cups. But the fact that also the players and the picks that we traded away didn't really do anything for the Devils, that pretty much means we got him for really nothing. So that just adds on to it. So
I was going to say, one of the biggest things from having Foote on the team is the fact that we had his brother at the same time. I mean, that was just one of those instances where it was kind of neat, and that was about the best we really got, I think, out of that tandem.
Yeah, we had feet.
Yeah. actually, I wouldn't mind going next with one, only because it actually is directly related to yours there, Nick. My favorite one is going to be the Namestnikov trade with Howard and Hajek. No, really? Did I pull yours?
I mean, like, we can go on and on about this trade. Like, I had a lot for this.
That's funny, because I had a couple of others. I wasn't sure, but here, how about you do that, because I have some backups. You pull this one. Go for
okay.
it.
Okay. I kind of figured somebody here would have it. Like, but to me, this is maybe not hands down, but it is one of the most important, you know, trades in Lightning history. Because again, it does tie into that Blake Coleman trade. You know, with, you know, getting, or sending off Namestnikov, Howden, and Libor Hájek in exchange. I think we also sent a conditional pick as well in exchange for JT Miller and Ryan McDonagh. Like, looking back at that trade, like, it is a clean sweep, you know, for the Lightning. Done deal every time. But then trading JT Miller to the Vancouver Canucks, which arguably you can say we sold low on at the time, and looking back on it today, we really didn't get a lot of value back for JT Miller either. You take that first round pick we get from Vancouver and send it to the New Jersey Devils for Blake Coleman. And he had some big, big moments, like we were talking about, that Superman buzzer beating goal in the 2021 finals. Just that whole third line. That's what people talk about looking back on the back to back years, is that third line, which he was a crucial part of. So that trade, Rangers fans hate that trade. It is like a black, horrible topic to bring up to Rangers fans, and that just makes my day. I'm not a big fan of the Rangers, so this trade literally is one of the most important trades in Lightning history. Again, you know, we haven't even got into the actual players yet. JT Miller and Ryan McDonagh. Like, Ryan McDonagh, we could go on and on and on and on about him.
To interrupt you for a second though, I think you did say it, this probably was the most important trade for the entire franchise, because on the back of this trade, we got two cups out of it.
Oh, easy. And if you just think of some of the big like the two biggest moments I can think of Ryan McDonough in each of those finals runs is, like, you remember it was game two of the Eastern Conference Finals against New York. Ryan McDonough gets a pass over to Kucherov with like 5 seconds to go in a tied game, puts us up, you know, gives us the go-ahead goal with 5 seconds to go. Huge play by him right there. And then not to mention all the defense that comes along with it, his perfect positioning, like at a time, maybe even still, the best defensive defenseman in the league. And then 2021, that amazing stretch pass to Braden Point in game one of round one against the Panthers. That was one of the greatest plays. That was one of the greatest games of all time right there. And those are just two highlights of, you know, an amazing but short Tampa Bay career. Like, again, go on and on and on about it.
That's funny. I was saying that maybe we'll go down the, you know, the rabbit hole, the trade tree, and right off the bat, that's what we end up doing. The fact that Miller turned out to be such a prolific player for another team was really surprising to me with this one too, because I knew he was good, and we played here, he played well, and we had, I mean, one game shy of holding the all-time record for the most wins in a season. I think it was tied that season. Boston came through later with their squad, but at the same rate, to have that team and then get swept the first round, then Miller goes over to Vancouver, starts putting up numbers, but he's, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and we've talked about on the podcast about him being almost like a cancer in the locker room. It kind of shows too that maybe if we held on to him, we wouldn't have had the winning mentality. We had that perfect combo, the trades work out for various reasons where it benefits the team in ways that you don't always foresee. And bringing McDonough over and even getting him back again, that was such a big thing, I think, for the squad.
Yeah, and like, is anybody upset with how Miller has panned out in Vancouver? Because he's been almost 100-point player, you know, pretty much since he's got there. That first year, not so much, but, you know, in that 90-point range, I don't think anybody's really exactly two cups. Nobody's too bummed.
What can you say? There's guys that constantly are in some of my groups that talk about how we should have held on to Marchessault or Verhaeghe. You know, we should have kept those guys. But, you know, Verhaeghe, we won a cup with him. Without him, we won two without Marchessault. So it would have been nice to keep those sort of guys. We were deep, though, and there's a reason why you win cups. You got to be deep.
See, with the Verhaeghe one, though, that one kind of does sting to me, because it's like you let him go for nothing. You didn't get anything back. Yeah, you won the cup the year after, but, like, his deal, like, he signed with the Panthers. It was a really cheap deal. I know we couldn't really fit it under the cap at the time. I don't know if we knew what we had. Like, I liked Verhaeghe, but
you have to look three steps ahead. It's almost like you're playing chess when you're playing GM, and knowing that there is the flat cap, it really kind of hand ties you, and there's not it doesn't give you room for movement or to wait for something to pan out when you're right up against it.
To be fair, the Panthers didn't know what they had in him either. That's why they exposed him in the expansion draft. So there you go.
That's a good point. All right, so I do have an honorable mention already, and since we're talking about a trade with New York, I figure that this is a good time to bring up the Marty trade.
That was
this is one that just when I think I get over it as a fan, I started looking at these list of trades and all those emotions come rushing back. Marty demanded to be traded to the New York Rangers from the organization because he was snubbed by all reports, and this is what both camps have said, because he was snubbed by Yzerman for being put on the Olympics, the Olympic team for Canada, who Yzerman was the head of. And Yzerman said that he stepped back, but Marty decided he wanted to move away from Tampa for that reason. And he said, I'll only go to the Rangers. And somehow, even though Yzerman had almost no choices, he walked away with the Rangers captain and a first and a second round draft pick for that trade.
I don't even think, was it a first and a second?
It was a first. I think I'm pretty confident it was a first and a second, or maybe it was a conditional second.
I'll look it up here.
Yeah. So, I mean, for somebody that doesn't really have much to negotiate with, I always thought that that was one heck of a trade to be able to convince, you know, the GM. I can't remember who the GM of the Rangers was at the time.
Not Jeff Gordon, was it?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Irrelevant. He lost.
Wait.
It was
to pull out their captain.
Yeah, Ryan Callahan, a first round pick in 2014, a first round pick in 2015, and a seventh rounder in 2015.
I think the second one may have been conditional, where it turned into a first round pick.
Maybe. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. So I mean, that is pulling, I think, a heck of a lot, because Ryan Callahan was a guy that was a heart and soul player. And then you had Marty, who, I don't know, I think he burns a lot of bridges. Maybe you guys have different viewpoints on it, but what do you think about that one?
I would say we won it. It wasn't Marty. It's more of the feels. Like, before we let Stamkos walk, that was the big heartbreaking front office move, in my opinion, letting the guy who at the time was the greatest of all time leave. But,
well, he said, I know, that he wanted to go. I know
the circumstances are way different, but still, it's just like, this guy's been the face of the franchise, and now he's in a different uniform. I mean, the thing that gives me kind of closure is he didn't play that long, and not to mention the one full season he did play for the Rangers. Who beat him in the playoffs?
That's fair. That's fair, Bolts, baby.
I wasn't around when the whole debacle happened. Like, I wasn't in touch with the Lightning. I wasn't a fan of the team quite yet, so I have no bad feelings towards Marty. I only see him as a franchise GOAT, or maybe second in line right now behind Stamkos or so. I only see him as that, and only that. I've heard about it, you know, a million times, a million different ways what's happened, but still, like, I can understand Marty's side of it. I get it. So yeah. I hold no ill will towards anybody.
Franchise GOAT was just that season named captain of the team. They're in the hunt for the playoffs. He had always been in Tampa for everything. And then he says that, you know, he can't play here anymore. There's a lot of people that had hurt feelings over it. I know that I do pretty heavily, but I can understand too, forgiving and forgetting.
Even till this day?
I was starting to get over it. And then we've revisited the actual trade. And I was like, man, that was just, that one stung.
See, yeah.
Yeah, what makes it sting for me is I was watching this video on YouTube a few years ago. It was like with Stamkos, and they're like showing him like photos throughout his career, and he's like remembering like what it was like in the moment. One of them was the handshake line right after they had beaten the Rangers in Game 7 to go to the final, and he's just talking about it so negatively. He's like, you know, it's my first final. We finally made it. I'm so happy. But I'm shaking the hands of the guy who's been my friend, my mentor. I wanted him to come with us, and instead I had to basically put him out and would essentially end his career.
Dang. So, I've never heard that. That's kind of sad. That's kind of dark almost.
If you ever hear about how much Steven and like looks up to Marty, like he loves that guy. So that one hit. Like it's more of an emotional trade, but like at the same time, I'm still like, man, we did kind of, I think we got the most out of it.
Yeah, and if I can offer a bit of a consolation, I guess, like what continues this trade carrying on to this day, maybe for you, Nick, maybe not so much for Joe because he's iffy on this player, but we got Anthony Cirelli out of this trade.
That is very true.
With, you know, flipping those two first round picks, we didn't use either of them. Those picks went through a bit of a blender. I think they went to the Islanders and somebody else, but somehow, some way, we managed to get Anthony Cirelli out of that trade as well. So that trade still lives on to this day.
That's funny. I don't have the ability to do it as you know, hosting the show, but Dan actually posted in our live chat that the third round pick they got from Marty, I believe, was used to select Cirelli. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
And still, yeah. Callahan was a great player for us when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Wore the A for a while. Like, he was one of the guys when we finally did get over that hump and lift the cup. I was sad he couldn't be there to lift it with
100%. Us. 100%. Especially because he's a guy that put out so much. He sacrificed his body a lot. And he was a guy that, I mean, as a, you know, trash hockey player myself, I always idolized his style of play. And, you know, that's the guy that I kind of aspired to be like. And for his back to literally not be able to carry the team anymore with him having his back issues, that was a hard one. That was a hard retirement.
he might be the epitome of like a heart and soul player. Like, I know it's an overused trope, but man, just every shift he put all into it. And again, I only got to see the tail end of it, you know, when he came, when I started watching in the 16-17 season, just dealing with injuries and a pretty drastic fall off. But still, you would see it every time he was healthy or even playing banged up. The dude just loved the game. And he's just a great guy too off the ice. People can't talk about him highly enough. He's an excellent guy.
The only negative thing I got to say about that guy is now he's a commentator, and whenever he commentates on Lightning games, sometimes he'll have to say something negative.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like he's betraying us every time he does
it. It honestly feels, watching him, that he tries extra hard to be unbiased when Tampa's the team that he's commentating on.
I like listening to him. But yeah. I'm still like, come on, man.
Yeah.
He went to the Ray Ferraro school of shouting his color, though, you know?
That's fair.
Dan actually just made another comment, if you could pull it up, Eureka, going again with how one trade impacts another. Pulling Callahan over was probably a really big reason why we were able to get McDonough. Callahan opened the door for New York free agency pipeline. It wasn't just like, you know, McDonough, or it was like Girardi.
Oh, yeah. Strawman. You know,
getting Girardi, Strawman, signing those guys. And that was
Brian
because
Boyle?
That had to have been a free agent, because I definitely didn't pop up on one of the trades. I'm going to go now with my actual favorite trade, and you know, it was actually mentioned in the chat already. For a while there, we were having a huge goalie problem, which might be foreshadowing for my worst trade, but we were having a huge goalie problem in Tampa, and we traded a prospect that was like the original ABB, Corey Conacher. We traded him straight up for Ben Bishop, who solidified the goaltending position for years with Tampa, and really helped not just stabilize the team, but also groom and bring up Vasilevsky, teaching him the ropes on what it's like to be a pro player. And I think that was a huge one, because I don't think Conacher played but maybe one season for the Senators, maybe two, before he started to be a journeyman as well, bouncing between teams and AHL clubs.
Yeah, just like with the picks you were talking about, Nick, going to New Jersey, Nolan Foote in that first rounder turning into nothing. It's even better when you get the guy back, Corey Conacher. I don't know how long it was after the trade, but he comes back to the Lightning. And I don't know, did he ever really have a consistent role with the team, or was he always just kind of an up-and-down guy? Regardless, you get the main guy in a deal back in a trade for free. I call that a win every day. And when you get a Vezina-level goalie who takes you to the finals as well as part of that trade, that one is also a clean sweep for the Lightning.
Oh, I mean, Conacher played 35 games that first season for the Lightning. He was someone that was pulled up from the A, and that was a team that was the Admirals that were playing really, really well. In 35 games, he had 9 goals and 15 assists for 24 points. He was really, really fast player. He was good with his hands. He was a little bit undersized. Let's see. It says that he's listed as 5'8", a little more than a little bit. He's definitely on the shorter end of the spectrum. And he also has type 1 diabetes, which, you know, that's an extra thing that he'd have to battle through and work with. So besides just being short, he did a lot to become such a great player. And then really helped the Lightning out with that trade halfway through the season, because he showed up on the scene, was putting some goals in, and then we got such a great asset for him.
Yeah, just like with Vlad Namestnikov that one season, just do a pump and dump, inflate those numbers and sell them off the high.
That's funny.
No, that's a good choice though, Joe. I mean, they got the guy who really, besides, you know, obviously like Stamkos and Hedman, brought them back to and brought him into the golden era that they would, you know, eventually go on to succeed. I mean, people love Ben Bishop while he was here. Like, I loved him.
Yeah.
I remember, like, you know, when that, like, goalie battle was kind of starting to go on, I'm like, who the heck is this Vasilevsky guy? He's got nothing on Bishop. What is this? That would not last long, but still, like, I mean, I pretty much give him responsibility for bringing this team back into its glory years. Like, if I can make a comparison to, I feel like, how I view him now, I view him similarly to how I think Patriot fans view Drew Bledsoe, in the sense that they were a struggling team, And then they draft, and then they get this like one guy in, and he becomes like this mainstay, super popular. He gets them to a championship, only to get eventually get replaced by a younger person at the same position who goes on to become one of the greatest of all time.
I like that comparison. That's a real good comparison.
Yeah, definitely solid. And when you look at Conacher's numbers, his best season after that was 60 games played for the Senators. He got 16 points, and those 35 for the Lightning, he had 15. So it's one that worked out really well for us, because if we held on to that asset, it may have turned into absolutely nothing.
One of my, I guess I'll throw in one of the extracurricular honorable mentions, whatever you want to call it, which does not abide by your rules, Joe. I'm sorry.
That's all good. That's what they're for.
But it's one of my favorite trades in Lightning history. I don't think it's up there with, no, it's definitely one of the most important trades, but it was a three-way trade between the Tampa Bay Lightning, Detroit Red Wings, and the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah, you know that where I'm going with this?
I
forget how it all shook out, but somehow the Lightning acquired Kyle Quincy and traded him. I think they acquired him from the Avalanche and traded him to the Detroit Red Wings for a first-round pick. I think it was pick number 19 in the 2012 draft. That pick turned out to be Andrei Vasilevskiy, which is just a nasty bit of work from Steve Yzerman. Like, that was crazy how Kyle Quincy turned into Andrei Vasilevskiy. Love that deal.
Well, moving on with another honorable mention, I think it's time for us to mention shop.rblrsports.com. Use code BOLTS for 10% off. We have team-inspired merch, some cool, unique gear that you can only find here, and helps keeps the lights on. So support your boys, support RBLR Sports, and look like a baller with shop.rblrsports.com. All right. You think Jake would be proud of that one?
I think it'll get a passing grade.
All right, that's all I'm looking for. I'm like you, Matt, getting the C's. And
C's get degrees.
That's it, baby. All right, let's move on to our least favorite trades, which can be equally as interesting. And honestly, there's some that, even mentioning the Marty trade could also go down as one of the least favorite trades of all time. But let's focus on ones where the Bolts really did not fare well in the trade. And it looks like, Matt, you got one ready to go.
Not really. This one was difficult because I didn't want to go with the obvious recent answer in Tanner Janot. Like,
okay,
that
hold
one,
on. Did you decide, Nick, as well to skip Janot?
He's like my backup option in case like you guys say something that
that's
I also had. But like I think we all can agree. Like, yeah.
I think we should go ahead and talk about that because we all decided that.
Yeah. If it wasn't recent, I would have said it, obviously.
Like, I don't know. Like, I loved Janot as a player, and I know you did too, Joe. Like, we all, me and you are on the same page of he didn't get a fair shot here. Injuries kind of hampered, what he could do, who he was playing with. You know, it's kind of the same story we've said for 2 years now. It sucks that we paid a king's ransom for him. I know Cal Foote was part of that deal, who was a former first-round pick who turned into nothing, quite literally nothing. But then a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. Like, that trade's going to take a while to fully pan out. You know, we'll be really lucky if all five of those picks turn into nothing or at best, like, fourth-line players. But you get five picks, the odds are you hitting on one.
There's going to be someone that comes out of that. And if not, like you said, playing the tree game, there's going to be something else that someone else that gets involved that, we could have had. And it, I've said it in many different ways. I really wish we had been able to hold on to that pick and see what could have come with it, or that player rather, and Janot. But because he was traded, you have to lock it in as a huge loss. That is JBB's huge swing and miss now, because he's not able to see it through. It really that's a tough one.
And Nick, we've all shared our opinion, me and Joe and Jake and Michael and everybody, but what is your opinion on Janot, the player, what he did while he was here, and, the thoughts of the trade to bring him here overall? What are your thoughts on the player in the trade?
I think, people forget, at the time, people saw it as a smart move. Like, when it happened, I thought it made sense, but now with the power of hindsight, oh God, no, they never should have done that. I mean, I actually kind of like the guy. Like, he always seemed like pretty good. And I, it's not like there's some players, they come here to the team, and they just don't care. Like, you can kind of see that. He clearly cared. He tried. He just couldn't do it, unfortunately, and that hurt him.
He's also on a line with guys that couldn't do it either, which probably hurt him equally.
It's unfortunate for him, but I think he's just going to forever be remembered as the symbol of, like, us declining from the cup-winning years. And I think most people will probably associate this with letting Stamkos walk, but, like, if the team, like, really crashes in the future years and JBB gets fired, I think we really should remember that as kind of, like, the first sign of, like, oh, maybe he's not as good as we hyped him up to be. Because, like, that might be his first, like, major miss. You know, you can always argue that, you know, some trades were bad, but, like, this one was, like, objective miss.
Well, we'll see, too, though. If he ends up being a really good player, then his hand may have been forced in order to free up cap space before he could develop into one, because he's only played for, realistically, what, 2.5 full seasons, maybe?
Let's say closer to four.
Yeah, like, for the Lightning in total. He bounced back.
For the Lightning, he didn't even play one full season, right? He didn't play a full 84 games. And before that, he played for Nashville for, I think, like, maybe one season.
A season and a half.
Yeah. Right. So he doesn't have that long in the league.
I really think he came to the wrong situation, honestly. He probably would have been better going to a team that's not as competitive or successful. Like, that sounds mean, but, like, it would give him more time to kind of grow, adapt to the league. Instead, he can't jump into a scenario where there was way too much expectations that he just wasn't ready for.
Well, you know, we can look forward to talking about this topic more in the future. Maybe in a couple years when we have a segment of players that could have been, we'll be listing Marchessault and Verhaeghe and Tanner Janot as guys we wish we would have kept. For my worst trade, I kind of hinted before, it was a goalie one. We traded Frederik Modin. This was back in 2006, so it's probably dating you guys a little bit. We traded Frederik Modin, who was he won the Stanley Cup with the Lightning. Oddly enough, I think he was the last player pretty much in the league to still use a wooden stick, which is, man, that's making me sound old, but it's he was still good with it. I think he, in like a skills competition, had over 100-mile-an-hour slap shot with his wooden stick. But Marc Denis was goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who was like, he was just an awesome goaltender for them. And we traded him in order to basically fill the void that was left when Javi Bolin was no longer with the team. And that really kind of sparked the start of goaltender uncertainty for almost the next 10 years until we got Ben Bishop. Some could argue maybe Mike Smith, but that was the start of, you know, really having goaltender issues, because Marc Denis, he played 44 games the first season with the Lightning. Now, mind you, he was like a Vezina candidate. He went 17 wins, 18 losses with a .883 save percentage, 3.19 goals against. The second season that we had him, he played 10 games, went 1-for-5 because he was pulled for a few, .859 save percentage, 4.05 goals against. The next season, he played one game for Montreal and was out of the league. He ended up being like a, sad to say, but kind of like a head case. Like, he just couldn't stay in the league. Freddie Moe, he battled through some injuries after his first season with Columbus, but he played for another 7 years.
Dang. I'd like to make a note real quick about Freddie Modin. Didn't you have him as a Hall of Fame snub, Nick, in one of your recent articles?
Not a snub, but yes, I put him in like my top five players who probably should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he has a good case. And
Hockey Hall of Fame or something for the Lightning?
Hockey Hall of Famer. Oh, he'll be on the Lightning Hall of Fame, like, eventually. Like, they already, like, treat him like a legend. It's just a matter of time.
Oh, yeah.
But
he was,
I think,
huge.
Yeah. I think he has an argument to be, you know, in the Hall of Fame. That was a hard list to make, though, because, like, you know, the obvious guys who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame are kind of still playing. So had to do a lot of digging. But I think he has a legit case.
It was a good read. Everybody should go check that out, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, Freddie Moe is he was a really critical part of that cup run, you know, a really big figure, and giving him up for for a goalie that basically just kind of crashed out of the league as soon as the Lightning acquired him. That's my big swing and miss for trades.
I didn't realize the ramifications that would bring. I've never really checked in on that trade, you know, what it did, or I guess what it didn't do for the Lightning. I didn't realize it was that bad. An over 4 GAA is rough, real rough.
He looked like some of my beer league goalies.
I could make him look great. yeah, we still got to do that, by the way. I still need to suit up.
We'll make it happen next time we have a practice. We'll get you out there.
Nick, did you have one that you just dislike? What's the term we're using for this? Bad trade,
but I'm still kind of on the fence. But I think I have two that are probably worth a mention. The first one is we traded Brad Richards along with a goaltender. I know I'm going to mess this name up. Jonah Holmquist. To the Stars. In exchange, we got a guy that you actually just brought up, Joe, Mike Smith, who did not do that well for us. Jeff Hamprin, Yusei Jokin, and a 2009 fourth round pick. Yeah, we traded away the guy who was going to have his best seasons later. And what makes it hurt the most is he eventually would go to the Blackhawks and beat us in the Stanley Cup Finals in exchange for guys who didn't really do that much for us.
I mean, I would almost argue. So that was one of the picks that came up, but as a win, you know, because you had to dump salary cap and you got out of a starting goaltender who, you know, I think Mike Smith was probably
his best victim of the better to come.
Yeah, and he was also a victim of the circumstances of the OK Cowboys, the Orrin Kühls era of hockey in Tampa, which was absolutely an insane time. But Jokinen had some decent hands. He was a fun player to watch. And what was the other guy that you mentioned?
Yes.
Oh, Halprin. Yeah. Halprin was, he ended up, you know, being a coach for the Lightning.
Yeah. Still is, right? Yeah. He still is. I think he's still on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But
yeah, our power play specialist, right?
Yeah. The reason I'll say it's bad, besides the fact that we traded away a guy who was about to make an all-star team to the Stars and would eventually beat us in the Stanley Cup, which makes it hurt, is to me, this is like a major symbol of like the dark ages, like right after they had won the cup. Like, if you remember that time, like, you know, obviously now we're blessed with great ownership. At the time, we did not have great ownership. They were selling off pieces, like, you know, franchise faces.
They're treating like a fantasy league.
Yeah, they did not care. They're trading away some of the more popular players, like him. And, like, that just pissed fans off and made them not want to attend. Like, I mean, thank God that this happened in 2008, so this is a few months before Stamkos came around and brought us back. But, like, this was, like, in my opinion, like, the peak of, like, oh, this is bad, and there's no end in sight.
Let me add to your story one of the reasons why it's a horrible trade. Back in 2008, you know, I was in my mid-20s or early 20s. My girlfriend at the time, future wife-to-be for my birthday, spent like $100 on a brand new Lightning jersey, my first Lightning jersey. It was Richards. She asked who I wanted, and I was like, the guy with the 7-year contract that'll be there for a while. I love the way he plays, winning awards, winning cups. He was a great selection. And then that next year, he ended up getting traded. And I swear to God, every time I wore that jersey, the Lightning would lose. Every time.
I think it's a rite of passage to have a cursed jersey, isn't it?
You know, only hockey fans are extremely superstitious. I wouldn't wear it for years, and I know she took it personally.
Has that curse worn off?
I mean, curses don't wear off. I still own the jersey, but I won't dare wear it.
Wow.
What am I going to do to my boys?
Okay, yeah, I guess it's best you don't wear it.
You got a worst?
Kind of. I was, okay. I guess I have like one and a half, because one of them is really nitpicky, if you will. Like, you know, again, we all could go over the Janot trade. One is very, very hindsight. I guess everything is hindsight, but draft week 1999 when the Lightning owned.
Yep.
was the first mention. Was it the first or second overall pick?
Both.
They had
the first pick. It.
Then they traded it to the second
pick. That was the Vinny year, right?
No, Vinny was 2000, wasn't he?
No, he was the year before, 98.
Okay.
So, yeah, that makes it even worse because the Lightning had an opportunity to get at least one of the Sedin twins. And, like, if you get one, you can kind of parlay into getting a second one. And, like, what could have been? Imagine, you know, Vinny LeCavalier with Daniel and Henrik Sedin. God knows how it would have happened. Like, you know, I guess you can call it a bad trade because it really did not help the Lightning at all. I guess he did avoid, you know, drafting Patrick Steffen, who's like a, you know, one of the greatest busts in NHL history. You know, his most famous play is missing an open net.
As I say, the fall.
Yeah. Yep. But like, again, you had a chance to get at least one Sedin. And if Brian Burke could have made that miracle happen, who knows what Rick Dudley could have done? You know, he held all the cards and, you know, managed to completely fold his hand. So I guess, I don't know. Is that nitpicky? Is that kind of, you know, reaching for a bad one? Cause it's a kind of what could have been type of trade.
I mean, I like those too, because, you know, we could probably have a segment on draft picks with guys that missed out. And one of my favorite guys to gripe about, Matt, do you know where I'm going to go with this one?
Or a draft pick? I do. Oh, wait, Brett Connolly.
Because what a miss that was, getting Brett Connolly. We could have had Jeff Skinner instead, and instead we, you know, swung. But yeah, I mean, we can make that one count for sure.
I was going to use that for my honorable mention because I didn't know if that counted because there weren't really players involved. But it's just, man, we could have had one of two Hall of Famers. And to make it worse, I was doing research for it. They were going to draft one of them. They literally have come out and said they were going to draft it, but then they let Brian Burke convince them that unless his brother was coming with them, they weren't coming to Tampa.
I mean, Kucherov wasn't a first rounder.
I don't know how valid that was if they, you know, were a package deal, if they were actually going to abide by that, because they were, and, you know, to the very end of their career, you know, even before they were in the NHL, they were a package deal. They always played on the same line no matter what. Like, I'm not sure if it, you know, continued into the NHL, but, like, again, they were twins. They were something special. They were some of the most fun players to ever watch in tandem. So it's a shame they could never make it. They didn't make it work. Again, especially you held all the cards. You had, you know, all ace. I don't play poker. But you had a great hand and you did nothing with it.
I personally think that eventually one of them would have come over, because the thing is, like, I don't think they played right away. I think they went back to Sweden for one more year. I just think that drafting both of them, like, got them over sooner. But I think eventually they kind of would have realized that, like, okay, we kind of have to go over if we want to play in the NHL. So it might have taken a bit, but I think eventually one of them would have come to Tampa. Especially because, like, it was 99. So, like, you know, LeCavalier, Richard, St. Louis, those years weren't too far away.
They weren't too far away, but also that's one of those things too, where you can look at it and think that if we did have them, they never won a cup.
No.
If we did have them, maybe we don't win. So we had the combination that we needed, and it could have prevented the right guys. Think about how freaking hungry Marty was. You know, a guy that constantly was bumped down to the lower lines every single game by Tortorella, and then eventually would be brought up. He was so hungry, fiery, and fierce. And if you have the Sedins there, maybe you don't move him up ever, and he doesn't become who he became. You know, we're all a product of the environments that we grow up in. And, you know, if you change those things, what's the butterfly effect?
Mm-hmm. Well, my argument against that is that they weren't really the Sedins yet in 2003, 2004. They were still, you know, these two guys who really couldn't really find their footing. They might be busts. It took them a while to really establish themselves as, you know, not only just good players, but superstars. And, you know, that was more towards, you know, that was definitely post lockout is when they really started tapping into their potential and seeing what they could really do together and get adapted to NHL ice. It was not an immediate, these guys are superstars, Hall of Fame players. So That's my argument against it, and this is all just speculation. You know what could have been. You know,
yeah.
And,
but we
raise a great point. This is peak offseason content.
No, we have another comment in chat too related to that. If you could pull it up, Eureka, would the Sedins have been the Sedins if they didn't play together?
That's a great question.
But I don't know. But then you could also argue, like what I was just saying, like they wait to come over. Marty makes his ascent before they come over. Now you have Sedins with Marty with a prime Marty St. Louis. What does that look like?
It looks like three cups or something, but
still have the lockout issue that broke up the team anyway.
Yeah.
All right, I have one more honorable mention too, which is Dan Boyle and Brad Lukowich were traded for Matt Carl and Ty Wishart. Carl played 12 games. He had 12 points for the Lightning, and we got rid of one of the best two-way defensemen, I would argue, of all time. He'd probably be in a top 20 list for two-way defensemen and Boyle. He was awesome.
How many points and how many games for Carl?
He played 12 games for the Lightning in his first stint, and he had 2 points.
Oh, okay. You said 12 points. I was like, he's a point per game.
Did I say that backwards?
That's pretty good.
Well, he was supposed to have offensive upside, but really? Then he went to Philly where he, you know, started to blossom, and he came back to the Bolts. He just wasn't good again.
Yeah, he's one of those like black spots, like players that people don't talk too highly of. Again, I never really got to watch a lot of him, but he's in that, you know.
You're lucky.
he's in that category.
It's one of those, like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Like, you're pushing the offense, sacrificing defense, and now you turned over the puck and there's no one back.
Mm.
That's, you know, those games where you yell at the TV for somebody blowing up a play, that's what I remember best about you know, that second stint that he had with the Bolts.
Maybe I'm glad I missed that, yeah.
You should be. right, I got one I want to bring up. Just curious what you guys think, because I'm kind of on the fence about it. I'm leaning toward bad, but I understand why. We traded Brian Boyle at the trade deadline to the Maple Leafs in exchange for a player who played 4 games with us and a second-round draft pick. I know why they did it. He was in this final year of his contract. He was having a career year. They would have had to pay him a lot. That said, do you guys remember how good he was for New Jersey after we let him go?
Wasn't he pretty all right with Jersey?
Yeah, he made
cancer first, right?
Yeah, he made the All-Star team.
In New Jersey, he went there, played a couple games, and had cancer.
Yeah, but you know, he made the All-Star team. It was really good for them. I think we played him in the we played him in the playoffs.
Played against them.
Yeah, but still, he had a couple more good years left in him. I don't know, but I guess they would have had to re-sign him, but I don't know. 2017 was that weird, was the like that one year that we like missed the playoffs, even though we had a winning record. I don't know, maybe having him helps us make the push. I don't know.
Interdivisional trading is never a good idea. I'm pretty much always against it. And then trading him to the Maple Leafs, who ended up being the team that got in the playoffs ahead of us by one single point. Like, Brian Boyle had to help at least with 1 point, and you know, from the trade deadline on. So that one, I haven't even really thought about that until you did bring that up. So that does play a huge factor.
And all we got was a guy who played four games. Four games. That's all we got.
Was it the Maple Leafs or Maple Leafs that he played
Maple
for?
Leafs.
So the Canadiens with the inner divisional trade where we got Sergachev. A Drouin that, you know, maybe now he's good, but man, he struggled with some stuff for years and years and years. And we got, if it wasn't for Hedman, a number one defenseman for the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, I say it every time, and every time it pops up in my memories, I have the statement the Lightning made on Facebook. Hey, we traded Jonathan Drouin for Mikhail Sergachev from Montreal. And I said, expletive this. And I hated that trade for a good while. But it ended up being, again, one of the more important trades in the team's history.
Yeah. Drouin was never going to do much here because he didn't get along with anyone. He feuded with Stevie Y. there was too much talent on him. I get why he had the ego. You're drafted third overall. You're a hyped prospect, and you're stuck.
I think he also got really bad guidance from, I think it was like his father is acting as his agent.
That's probably why.
And I think it's really bad guidance that he got. He held out on his contract extension. He held out with the team, and I mean, he really struggled with some issues. He took some time off too playing. He didn't start doing well until he went back to Colorado.
Yeah,
like
over to Colorado, I should
McKinnon
say.
McKinnon Merchant.
Yeah, he struggled in Montreal, partly because they tried putting too much on him. Like, they were really struggling at that time. So,
I think he knew Mac before.
Oh, yeah, they played on their junior team together. That's why.
So, I mean, less of a merchant, I would say, is, and, like, he finally got into a scenario that he was comfortable with.
It's ironically, we could have like played him in the Stanley Cup, but like you mentioned, what was it? He was having like mental health issues or something like that.
Yeah, so something like that.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's why I felt bad for him. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he's coming back now, so good for him. But like I said, he's not going to succeed here.
Let me transition us a little bit. Do you guys have any of interesting trades as well that you'd like to bring up?
I already brought up the Kyle Quincy for Andre Vasilevsky trade. Yeah. I love that.
Well, so I mean, I just have literally one, and that is just because it's so weird. Is that,
oh.
The Bolts traded Zomner, who I'm not even sure who that is, to be honest, and it's because it's a little bit before.
Rob Zomner, was that his name?
Yeah. Yep.
He was our captain.
He was the captain of the team. That's the awesome. They traded him for Rick Dudley, who was the GM. So the GM traded his own right, like the organization traded the rights for the GM to be able to talk for the Lightning to sign. So we basically traded for a general manager, Rick Dudley, who is the one that fostered Feaster into being the eventual GM that won us our first cup.
That is such an interesting trade, and there's not a whole lot you can like peel back. You know, it's not much of a tree, I guess, but like. Even not in NHL history, but sports history. It's such an interesting trade.
How does a GM get involved as part of the trade? It's a really strange one, right?
Does he volunteer to trade himself? Is that how this works? That's weird.
Guys, like, I have a really good trade. If you're ownership.
So who is the trade with?
Are you that desperate to get out of there?
Let's see. Do you have it pulled up there, Nick?
Hmm? Oh, I can look that up. Rick Dudley.
Because there's a lot of places, you know, I'd trade myself away from to get to Tampa.
I think
how mad would this guy must have been with his own organization. He was probably like, how can I get out of here? Oh, my God. I have the most
what if I give you a captain from another team? Can you get me out of my contract? I think it was one of the Canadian teams that he was...
Done deal. I'd trade myself away from Canada,
he
too.
He was hired as the general manager for the Ottawa Senators, after which he was hired by the Lightning, who traded Zomer as part of the package for the rights to negotiate with him.
What an amazing organization the Senators have been over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you got to feel bad. Honestly, I do feel bad for Senators fans. If you look at the talent that they've had come through there, and they've been able to do... Chara was a Senator.
Prime Eric Carlson,
Daniel Alfredson,
man.
Mark Stone.
Yeah.
Brady Tkachuk is now stuck there.
I love Brady Tkachuk too.
Yeah.
And like, I think over the course of the 31 or 32 years now since 1992, they were our expansion brothers.
Yeah,
I think
they
have a better record like over the regular season. Those numbers might be kind of crossing paths now, but. At least at a certain point, they were the way, way better team throughout their existence. And then, you know, here we are with three cups, fat and happy, you know, kind of riding off into the sunset. And they're still just trying to keep their head above water. You do kind of have to feel bad for them.
They just had terrible ownership. That's
there were fans taking out billboards criticizing the ownership. That's insane.
Oh, I mean, not criticizing. They were calling for his head.
No, do you blame him? Like, do you know some of the stuff this guy did? Like, he threatened to relocate the team during an alumni game before, like, a stadium series game that they were hosting. Like, he was super cheap. He always meddled. Like, tickets prices were expensive. Like, there's a reason the Senators could not sell out a playoff game, and that's because the arena was put in a terrible place. Like, the city of Ottawa hated that guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it definitely showed. And I mean, you definitely feel bad for him and it's for the fans, because the fans don't, you know, if any team doesn't deserve to have like really crappy ownership. But we've gone through it too. Like the OK Cowboys was a wild time. And that's one of the times I had season tickets. So I'm paying money that I probably couldn't have afforded at the time to watch a team that, well, the lineup was different damn near every game, you know, if not every week. And Barry Melrose was the coach for like 16 games. What, you know, what sort of world is that?
Just, oh God, if you ever just want to be entertained though, just look up like Ottawa Senators, like screw ups over the years. It's the funniest thing. Like they screwed up during the draft lottery because they accidentally picked like several players who they could not draft, forcing their GM to go up there and apologize. The reason they did that is because they let their laptop die, so they had no data. Or like right after they like made that run to the conference finals where they lost in OT of game 7 to the Penguins, you know, that fall off after that.
Oh yeah.
Like look into the drama going on behind that. That's so entertaining. Like the worst part is like they were like interviewing the GM and he just like gives up when they ask him like, so give me something, like what's something good about this team? And he straight up just says,
We're a team.
I
love that clip.
That is a man who gave up on life right there. Like, oh, that poor man.
And then even, you know, relatively recently trying to trade they traded who was Evgeny Dodonov to the Golden Knights, and the Golden Knights were trying to trade him to the Ducks, but the Senators never submitted Dodonov's no trade list to the Golden Knights. So the Golden Knights didn't realize that Dodonov had the Ducks on his no trade list. So then the Sens got fined, I think, two first round picks for that, or at least one first round pick for that, which is just horrible mismanagement of not even assets, just a piece of paper.
Should we feel bad that we sent Matthew Joseph over there?
No.
No, because he scored on us. I got one more really, really obscure. Yeah, when he never does shorthanded. I got one more really obscure trade, which was brought up in chat as well. Dan, thank you for all the contributions to this episode. He's brought a lot of content for us. On June 29th, 2014, the Tampa Bay Lightning acquired Sam Gagne in exchange for Teddy Purcell. Gagne, however, only spent an hour as a member of the Lightning before then being acquired by the Arizona Coyotes, along with BJ Crombie, in exchange for a sixth round pick in the 2015 NHL entry draft.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
So it was basically a three-way deal for a salary dump and to get rid of Purcell because of some issues that were going on within the team. But I remember actually getting that, you know, the notification that that happened, that we acquired Gagne, and being kind of excited that we had him as a player because I liked him. He was a fast skater. Mm-hmm. I thought he would have been good for the Lightning, and then kind of have him, you know, my heart broke an hour later because he got traded to the Coyotes for nothing.
That's tough.
Well, I can give you one positive that I forgot to mention. I was talking about Blake Coleman earlier. This guy pretty much came with him. Barkley Goodrow trade. That one worked out because all we traded with was a guy named Anthony Greco, who never played a game for the Sharks, and a 2020 first round pick, which ended up being the last pick in the first round. That guy is currently in the Nashville Predators minor league system. I don't think he played for the Sharks either.
What's his name? Do you know?
Hold on. I can find it right
here. I'm wondering if I'd recognize it, but it's a probable no.
Ozzy Weisblatt.
Oh, Ozzy Weisblatt? I didn't know Weisblatt. That was. Okay. He was supposed to be something pretty good, but I guess that didn't happen. He was just traded like this last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's with the Milwaukee Admirals, the Predators mm-hmm. minor league team.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I don't think he hasn't made it to the NHL yet. So basically we traded two minor league guys for a guy who played a key role in winning back-to-back cups.
Nice.
Huge role.
The Blake Coleman buzzer beater who assisted him on that.
Bogo.
Yep.
Oh wait, no. there was another one.
Uh,
you're talking about. But no.
There were two Superman goals, and one of them was a Bogosian, you know, coast-to-coast beauty that Blake Coleman Supermaned in. So
that's like, yeah, that was the one that was like in the bubble, right?
Yeah, I think it was against Boston.
I'd say not even their goals, but also the
defense.
The defense, yeah. The penalty kill was insane with those guys. I mean, that was a hallmark of those teams, was the depth that the Lightning had, and something that they really dramatically, I feel like, lost this last season. Hopefully the acquisitions that they made in the offseason will make the difference, where we start to see more of a goal scoring differential for those bottom lines.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
You guys have anything else to bring up for interesting Lightning trades?
I think we've ran pretty long, unless Nick's got something else up his sleeve.
I don't, and even if I did, I don't think I can top. We traded for the rights to negotiate for a GM. So,
well, guys, this has been fun. This is an episode I was really looking forward to, especially in spite of not really having too much exciting and fresh news in the Lightning world. But this was a really enjoyable one. If you've made it this far, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on YouTube and all the other major platforms. And if you're on YouTube, you can get our live videos. Make sure you hit the notification bell. Thank you all very much for watching. We appreciate you. Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.